This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Alex Cohen. Joyous celebrations and angry protests all night long following the news that Radovan Karadzic was arrested yesterday. He was one of the most wanted war criminals in the world. Karadzic had been indicted 13 years ago for his alleged role in the killing of nearly 8,000 Muslim men and boys. He also was the Bosnian Serb president for several years in the early 1990s. For more on the man who's been on the run for years, we're joined now by John Burns of the New York Times. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
If you could take us back to that time, what do you remember about the climate of fear that he created?
Well, it's an overworked phrase, perhaps because it is so apt, but Hannah Arendt's banality of evil applied in full measure to Radovan Karadzic. He was a delusional, strange, quirky man to deal with, who liked to sit up late into the night smoking cigars and drinking cognac and slivovitz and setting out this grand, mad scheme that he had to create a republic cleared of all but Serbs in Bosnia and then link it to the greater Serbia of Slobodan Milosevic in Belgrade. And it was difficult to connect this man drinking his cognac, blowing clouds of smoke into the air, with the tragedy that was unfolding at his behest only a mile or two away from where he sat through these long evenings talking to people like me, artillery guns firing on the city of Sarajevo, reducing it to rubble, and murderous gangs of paramilitary thugs marauding across Bosnia, engaging in ethnic cleansing, and ultimately forcing about 2 million people to become refugees.
You mentioned the fact that you spoke with him personally. What do you remember most about talking to him face-to-face?
I tell you what comes to my mind first. I had been witnessing ethnic cleansing in the very early stages in eastern Bosnia, and I'd seen people being machine-gunned, men and boys, in village squares, and their families, mostly women and children, being driven out into long and miserable hikes across the mountains, fleeing these paramilitary killers. I'd written about this. I'd heard this strange phrase, which later on we all came to know so well, ethnic cleansing, and fell into a conversation with him only a matter of 48 hours or so after I had first witnessed this and described the miseries in the village square and described the people walking over the mountains, being, as I said to him, driven from their homes. He said, no, I got it completely wrong. I got it upside down. They weren't being driven from their homes. They were being liberated to go home. I said, what are you talking about? Yes, they're going home, he said. What we've done is made it possible for them to go home to their own people. This is something they should celebrate. At that point, I realized I was dealing with somebody who was quite preposterous, and indeed, I would say, delusional.
So it sounds like he had absolutely no sense of remorse whatsoever.
Absolutely none at all. Absolutely none at all. I saw him personally sitting at an artillery gun, 155-millimeter artillery gun. This is a battlefield weapon, firing shells into the heart of Sarajevo. These shells were hitting hospitals. They were hitting schools. They were hitting apartment buildings. It was the most astonishing thing to see, and he loved every minute of it.
How much time did you spend with him over the years, and when was the last time you saw him?
Well, I was in Bosnia in 1992 and 93, and I think I saw him just before I left at the end of 1993, and of course that was more than a year before the greatest atrocity of all, which was the Srebrenica massacre. But I can tell you that people like myself who were there and knew him well, we were absolutely astonished that the West, and I mean the United States and the United Kingdom principally, the United Nations, sent emissaries, very distinguished people, to negotiate with Karadzic and General Mladic, his military partner in ethnic cleansing, as if these were reasonable people that you could actually treat with. I thought that that was almost as big a delusion as the delusion which Karadzic and Mladic had fallen into, and looking back on it, you have to wonder what on earth was in the minds of the U.S. administration and the British government, the government of John Major, the administration of Bill Clinton at the time, that they would do that.
The irony, I think, of all of this is the fact that, meanwhile, he's got an extensive background in psychiatry, and when he was detained yesterday, he had been practicing for a while in an alternative medicine clinic.
I talked to him at great length about the practice of psychiatry. He spoke to me, I remember, one occasion on a long afternoon we spent at a cafe in Belgrade at the height of ethnic cleansing. I said to him, what exactly do you do in the practice of psychiatry? Well, he said, we have to deal with uprooting the delusional and returning people to normality. This is dealing with paranoics. I said to him that that's exactly the reverse, it seems to me, of what you're doing in politics, that you're planting the delusion, you're spreading the delusional. And he said, no, I am firmly based in reality. Well, of course, he never was, and I doubt whether he was during the years when he was a ghost, when he was on the run. He's a very strange character altogether, one of the most memorable as well as detestable men that I have ever met.
Radovan Karadzic is also a published poet. What was his writing like?
Pretty bizarre. Some years before the shelling of Sarajevo, he had written a poem in which he prefigured that, and he described shells falling on the city, and women and children and the carnage of the whole thing. But it was an astonishing thing that he, almost like Adolf Hitler with Mein Kampf, that he had actually sat down and written, even if it was a dream, as he told it in the poem, written or prefigured what he was actually going to do.
He's been on the run now for more than a decade. What are the charges that he currently faces, and what do you think is likely to happen to him next?
Well, he's facing the most serious crime charges of all, of course, principally genocide, war crimes. I think the indictment runs to 7 or 8 particulars. Basically, they have thrown the book at him. And, of course, one will have to hope that, and I think he will get, a fair trial at The Hague, and it'll be interesting to see what sort of a defense he puts up. I'm pretty sure he will not plead insanity. He will continue to defend his project, and he will defend it, actually, if I'm not mistaken, the man I knew would defend it as an act in service of humanity. So, you know, we're all going to be treated to some dizzying performances at The Hague, I would say, over the next 2 or 3 years.
John Burns of the New York Times speaking with us about the arrest yesterday of Radovan Karadzic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.